I invite Jonathan, Nate, and Noah to come forward for the scripture reading this morning. We are going to be presenting the gospel reading to you in a style that is called choral reading, as if we were parts of the choir reading it. You will hear all the words of the scripture, but we will be reading them representing different characters within the narrative. It's one of our longer stories, so I hope that helps you to follow the thread of it as well. So Noah will be reading the narrator, I will be reading Elizabeth, Jonathan will be reading Zechariah, and Nate will be reading the angel Gabriel.
During the rule of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah.
His wife Elizabeth was a descendant of Aaron. They were both righteous before God, blameless in their observance of all the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to become pregnant, and they both were very old.
One day, Zechariah was serving as a priest before God because his priestly division was on duty. Following the customs of priestly service, he was chosen by lottery to go into the Lord's sanctuary and burn incense.
All the people who gathered to worship were praying outside during this hour of offering.
An angel from the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense.
When Zechariah saw the angel, he was startled and overcome with fear.
The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers have been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give birth to your son, and you must name him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many people will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the Lord's eyes. He must not drink wine and liquor. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. He will bring many Israelites back to the Lord their God. He will go forth before the Lord, equipped with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will turn the hearts of fathers back to their children, and he will turn the disobedient to righteous patterns of thinking. He will make ready a people prepared for the Lord."
Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure of this? My wife and I are very old."
The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in God's presence. I was sent to speak to you and to bring this good news to you. Know this, what I have spoken will come true at the proper time, but because you didn't believe, you'll remain silent, unable to speak until the day when these things happen."
Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they wondered why he was in the sanctuary for such a long time.
When he came out, he was unable to speak to them.
They realized he had seen a vision in the temple.
For he gestured to them and couldn't speak. When he completed the days of his priestly service, he returned home.
Afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant. She kept to herself for 5 months, saying, "This is the Lord's doing. He has shown his favor to me by removing my disgrace among other people."
Dot, dot, dot.
When the time came for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a boy.
Her neighbors and relatives celebrated with her because they had heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy. On the eighth day, it came time to circumcise the child. They wanted to name him Zechariah because that was his father's name.
But his mother replied, "No, his name will be John."
They said to her, "None of your relatives have that name." Then they began gesturing to his father to see what he wanted to call him.
After asking for a tablet, he surprised everyone by writing, "His name is John." At that moment, Zechariah was able to speak again, and he began praising God.
All their neighbors were filled with awe, and everyone throughout the Judean highlands talked about what had happened. All who heard about this considered it carefully. They said, "What then will this child be? Indeed, the Lord's power was with him."
John's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Bless the Lord God of Israel, because he has come to help and has delivered his people. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in his servant David's house, just as he said through the mouths of his holy prophets long ago. He has brought salvation from our enemies and from the power of all those who hate us. He has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and remembered his holy covenant, the solemn pledge he made to our ancestor Abraham. He has granted that we would be rescued from the power of our enemies so that we could serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness in God's eyes for as long as we live.
You, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way.
You will tell his people how to be saved through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of our God's deep compassion, the dawn from heaven will break upon us to give light to those who are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide us on the path of peace.
The word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. And thank you to our scripture readers. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we are going to talk about some tough stuff today, about how we continue in our faith when things aren't going the way we want, when life is hard. So your Holy Spirit that has been with your people through the ages, send it now to us today, that each of us may experience your healing presence within our hearts and among each other as we journey together. In Jesus' name, amen. Nobody ever gets married planning to get divorced. Nobody ever takes up a sport intending to blow out a knee. Nobody ever sets their sights on getting terminated when they sign that job contract. Nobody ever hopes to feed their household with charity from food banks. Nobody ever envisions a retirement calendar filled with surgeries and doctor appointments. Nobody ever borrows against their retirement so all their IVF rounds could fail. Are you thinking of your own, "I never imagined this thing would happen to shatter my dreams," or "I never thought my life would turn out this way"? It's okay. Take a deep breath and know that God is here, God is with you in that pain and in that memory, and that God intends to bring you healing. But what do we do with the pieces of our broken hearts when a dream lies shattered around us? How do we navigate the present when our contract with the future has been shredded? What are we supposed to do when it seems like the world train is just speeding down the track and no one cares that our car derailed? What if I missed it? Is the title of chapter one in our Advent study, An Unlikely Advent. Author and pastor Rachel Billups taps into that common experience of looking around and wondering, what if I missed the life I was supposed to have, or the life I could have had? And when we get stuck there, and we all do sometimes because that's part of being human, that's part of the grieving process, when we get stuck there, sometimes life gets really tough. We might find ourselves feeling martyred, victimized, assuming that somehow things are better and easier for others, and maybe they are in that moment. It's easy to give into cynicism because hope feels too risky. And we don't even have to board a train to get from why me or why God to giving up hope that God is working. One of the lessons that I've learned in the downs of life is that even when I have lost hope, even when I have been too hurt or too angry, maybe even have stopped speaking to God, even then, God is still there, still loving me, still at work, patiently waiting for me to come around. And so at this point in my life, I really no longer doubt the existence of God when that happens, but kind of say, God, I know you're going to be there, but I am too mad right now, so be patient with me and hang in there with me. And some of the times, one of the ways I come around is finding myself or part of my story in one of the Bible stories. What we learn about Zechariah and Elizabeth in verses 5 to 7 today is that they are people who did everything right, but life did not go right. They each had a priestly pedigree. Luke says they were righteous and blameless, but they still didn't have children. While we live in a time of growing acceptance of childless by choice, we are also growing in awareness of just how painful it is to long for children and not have them. Many of Elizabeth and Zechariah's family and neighbors would have assumed that barrenness was punishment, adding shame. We assume from the rest of the story that their childlessness was a source of pain and shame for them. And in addition to their personal tragedy, Zechariah and Elizabeth were living with the national tragedy of Roman occupation, about which God seemed to have little to say. Their people had been dispersed by conquerors many times over the centuries as their land and their national treasure shrank and their holy places were desecrated. How many times, O Lord, will humanity desecrate your holy land? To regular people, the Roman Empire was capricious, cruel, and just too big to challenge. Some responded by giving up their faith, others by trying harder. Some decided it was better to die by revolt, while others decided it was better to submit to survive. It's easy to imagine that many of them weren't even bothering to ask, what if I missed the life I was supposed to have? Because they just felt so powerless. In summary, life was no easier and equally painful, if in different ways, for Elizabeth and Zechariah as compared to us. Yeah, but they got a miracle. Yes, it is true that Zechariah and Elizabeth got a miracle. They got to hold the child that their arms were aching for. But I wonder, what if God's healing had already been at work in their lives, had already begun to restore hope and purpose to them? I wonder this because, despite their personal tragedy, they were still doing the religious practices to stay in love with God. Despite no end in sight to the Roman occupation, Zechariah still went to the temple as if he believed his priestly duties would make a difference. Zechariah had already shown up when the angel Gabriel showed up. And despite going through many of the same things Zechariah did, plus the additional hazards and discrimination of being female, especially in that time, Elizabeth is ready to leap with hope into what God is doing with her and her cousin Mary. How did they get there? How did they find hope and purpose instead of just staying stuck in their pain? Everyone who wants three easy steps, just put down those pencils and those note apps because there ain't no such thing. Now, these steps that I'm going to share, they sound simple, but they are not easy. The journey of hope and healing takes years and sometimes comes back around for another layer of healing. And so in all of that, whatever you are going through in your life, whatever you might be remembering of other times in your life, the Bible and the people in it invite us to bring our pain before the Lord for healing. It's that simple and really hard. For much of our pain, there's no way around but through. But we don't have to go through it alone. Bring the pain before the Lord for healing. Now, there might be one or more big ands involved. Bring it before the Lord and therapy and medication and a recovery program and our church's healing care ministry and journaling and whatever else you might be thinking of that brought you towards healing in a tough time. In the fall of 2018, I had to handle three spectacularly ugly church disasters at the same time, in addition to my normal district superintendent workload. Spiritually and emotionally, I was pretty beat up by the time we got to Advent. And in Bishop Malone's devotion during December, she preached, "Advent is when we expect God to show up." And so every morning for the rest of Advent, I began with a simple prayer, "God, I expect you to show up today." So it's a little presumptuous, isn't it? It is, except that in the Bible, that's what God tells us is the plan, that God will show up, that God is there. And so sometimes we say prayer is about us and what needs to change in us to receive God, and that's quite likely possible because God did show up, and it was the beginning of healing for those experiences. Another simple to say but hard to do step is acceptance. When we are ready to ask, if I don't have the life I want, what does God want to do in the life I have? This is not something that we can rush, that we can skip over to, nor is it anything that anyone can do for anyone else. If I end up in a nursing home, I want to be like Agnes. Agnes was initially devastated to learn she would never go back home. But it wasn't long before I learned to ask the staff on the way to her room if they'd seen her, because she was not going to be in her room. She was going to be zipping around in her chair, delivering newspapers to residents, welcoming new residents, asking for prayer concerns, and generally earning her nickname of Miss Sunshine. She assumed God must still have a purpose for her, that she could still love people where she'd ended up. And perhaps therein lies today's final lesson for us from Elizabeth and Zechariah, daring to trust, as the Apostle Paul will write a few decades later, that God is at work for good in all things. That doesn't mean that God causes all things, but that God is able to work for good somehow in all things. And there we can find purpose in whatever part God has for us to play, and hope in what God is going to do. When Zechariah gets his voice back, the first thing he says is not, "Who's daddy's cute widow baby?" Would have been easy, right? But the Holy Spirit inspires him to prophesy joyful expectation of God's plans. Baby John the Baptist is an enormous miracle in the lives of Zechariah and Elizabeth, but also, they're just two old folks and a baby. How unlikely is it that their lives would come to matter so much in the grand scheme of things? But that's exactly it. The lives of the overlooked, thrown away, and just ordinary people matter a whole lot to God. Through this miracle and his months of silence, they have made the leap from their personal blessing to the big salvation story of God's redemption. So this is a good time to say that the word Israel is going to pop up a lot this month. And when it does, I ask us to pay close attention to what the Bible says God's dreams are for Israel, and to reflect on who is meant by Israel. Pastor Hannah pointed out to me that God rarely seems pleased with kings and other powerful people of ancient Israel, but God is often pleased by the little people, the Zechariahs and Elizabeths and Marys and Josephs. It's true that Zechariah prophesies salvation from our enemies, but he also sees mercy, compassion, holiness, righteousness, light to guide in the path of peace. Nothing was really resolved in Zechariah's lifetime, but he could see the long moral arc of the universe bending towards justice, and he rejoiced in the part he got to play. In 2,000 years, I imagine I'll be a little branch on a family tree for a genealogy project for some child. Life has been hard sometimes. Life has hurt sometimes. But I find a great deal of satisfaction in getting to play my little parts wherever they are for justice and love to increase. Many, many times, humans have found hope in the light that darkness could not overcome. And in those times when life is not going according to plan, it is that light that carries us through, whether our hands hold the candle or someone else's do, whether we hold the candle for ourselves or hold it for someone else who can't quite hold it themselves right now. Many, many times, humans have found God's word to be a lamp unto our feet. We read these Bible stories again and again to find hope that actually it's God's plan to love all the unlikely people like Zechariah and Elizabeth and work through us for the path of peace. Amen.